Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. For the People Radio 101.com, hosting your republic for the United States of America. Good evening, everyone, tonight.
Good evening, David. Thank you for being here for America and for us to speak to America. We definitely appreciate all that you do, my friend. Tonight, we're going to continue our conversation with you about the Constitution. You know, tonight's conversation with Justice Waters and others tonight brings me back to the beginning days of my association with people that have stood up and formed our republic. And it seemed like to me that the one thing that everybody was looking for was liberty and justice for all, if I could just put it in a nutshell. People were looking for ways to apply the Constitution in a court of law, and the judicial system didn't allow that to happen because they didn't have jurisdiction in that arena. And that's when we realized that we in the Republic needed to stand up the Republic so that we could have our Constitution and our country back and our jurisdiction back. After all, we created these people. And just like Studebaker, we can put them to bed and go on down the road without them. And that's pretty much where we're at. And so today we look back at history a little bit and the days that the Constitution was written and some of the issues that came forth in those early days of our country and why our Constitution is put together brilliantly, such as it is. So, Justice Waters, thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you, Governor. Hello, America. Boy, don't we live in some interesting times. Let's recap something here real quickly. We've talked over the last 2 weeks that your rights to free speech, rights to the free press, the right to assemble peacefully, the right to redress a government about a wrong, and then be able to hold and bear arms for the very purpose of making sure the government or anyone else doesn't take away the rights that you have. The Founding Fathers knew one thing. Those rights were not given by any government. They were given by God Himself. Therefore, the government could not take them away. They didn't belong to the government to begin with. Now, you have the absolute right to have free speech, as long as it doesn't violate somebody else's personal life or property. You have the absolute right to assemble peacefully. Now, I don't mean like they did up in Portland and Seattle. It's peaceably. You have the right to print truth. You even have the right to print your opinion, as long as it doesn't punch the other guy in the nose. And you have the absolute right to stand there inside your house and defend your constitutional rights from a tyrannical government. However, you do not have the right to walk down Main Street and wave your weapon around like you're a crazy man, threatening others with harm. You do not have the right to walk into a place of business and place your weapon pointing it at another human being with no reason or no cause to do so, with the intent to do harm. Or for you to commit a crime using your weapon against other people's wills. When you do that, that's called armed robbery. If you take another person's life in anger and for no reason, and you are arrested, you even have the rights, as well as what we're going to discuss tonight. Even a criminal, somebody who's broken the law, has rights under the Constitution. Now, before we get started on those kind of rights, we are discussing the amendments that came along in the late 1700s, 1790, 1791. They're called amendments. We call them the Bill of Rights. And the reason we have that is because, well, people left England and Scotland and Ireland and maybe a few other countries in the day to escape the persecution from the way they wanted to worship, or because they believed in a loving God and they wanted you to believe in the Church of England. The state-run authority, owned, operated by the king himself. Everything was the king's. Nothing was yours. You had no rights. You had no freedoms. And as long as you played ball with the way the king wanted, well, everything was fine and dandy. It's when you didn't want to pay all those high taxes and you didn't want to go to church and pay 50% of what you had in tithes every single week, or they'd pop you in the head with their sticks. Now, if you didn't want to do that, then you were a troublemaker. And so people left England. They left Scotland and Ireland. And they came to this country for freedom of to worship God the way they wanted to worship him. Now, I didn't say Allah, and I didn't say the Hindu God. I didn't say the Arab God. I said the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that was the only God they came here to worship. Now, because England tailed them over here and decided this was their territory, and they were going to run things from, well, the crown of England, and even though it was across a 4,000-mile pond, they set up governors and magistrates here in the communities, and they were running the show. And once again, the people, well, they were living in a tyrannical government. So much to the point, the British, when they were bringing their navies and their armies over, they would come to the people's homes and they would kind of like look up the man and see what kind of stature he was. And if they liked the way he acted and the way he walked and the way he could hunt, they wanted to recruit him, take him away. And of course, mommy and the kids would never see daddy again. Basically, that's called kidnapping. But that's what the British did. And then, of course, if the owners of the house allowed that person from England who is in uniform to stay there, then if anybody in the family would have a charge against that person in the military, and they would go down to the magistrate and complain, well, you know, they would bring charges up against people of the household, and of course the magistrate and the governor and all that was all paid for by the king. Guess what? You had no say. You had no rights. Couldn't print anything, couldn't blab to the community what was going on. Sometimes you were even brought before the magistrate without a trial, without any kind of a jury, and just found guilty and hung. England was some nice people. The colonists didn't like them very much. So much so, we got into a war with them. Need I say? With the help of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we kicked some British butt. Took us a number of years, but we got the job done. In the midst of that, in 1776, some of the founding fathers got together and they just kind of put together a note. It later was called the Declaration of Independence. And there they listed a number of things they had a grievance against with the king and with England, with the armies and the navies of Britain. They didn't like it. They called themselves independent. They were no longer going to be under British rule. Now, I want to tell you something. That took some kahunas, some big ones, because they were already in a war against Britain. Now they turn around and tell Britain, we're no longer your people, in the middle of a war. Now, try doing that in battle today. Just think about that. That's what these founding fathers did. They had the guts to tell the King of England during the middle of a war that we're no longer your people and you're no longer our slave master. And they basically spit on him and turned their backs on him. So when they got together and put together these amendments, the Third Amendment reads, no soldier shall in time of peace be quartered or live in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Well, under the Constitution, who makes laws? Congress. Who passes laws? Congress. Who signs laws into law? Well, that would be the president. So don't think twice that they were going to allow any soldiers to live in people's homes when the people didn't want them. That's very simple. If you're a soldier in uniform today, you can live in somebody's home when you're stationed, we'll just say Norfolk, Virginia. If you become friends with some people off the base, you can live in their home. There's no problem with that. As long as the owner of the home says yes, you can live there. And of course, the United States military isn't going to cause the problems with that family that the British military caused, because we're fighting for those people. We're not fighting against them. The Fourth Amendment, and now we're going to get into some interesting stuff. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, their houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Let's break that down for a second. Your body, your personal body, is protected by these rights of search and seizure. House and all your paperwork in the house, all your computers, iPads, cell phones, your dresser drawers, your kitchen appliances, your car, all those effects that's inside your property cannot be taken, seized, or stolen by any law enforcement, FBI, CIA, NSA, county, state, or local law enforcement. They can't touch it unless there is a warrant. Now, let me tell you, in the Republic, how this works. A police officer suspects that inside a house, a crime has been committed. Now, he can't just walk in there and look unless he's invited. So if he's not invited, he has to go to a judge and say, look, there's been a crime committed at such address, and we need to inspect this. We need to find out what's going on. And the judge is going to say, we've got no proof of anything. But now comes witness number one, and they bring a statement of crime against such and such person that lives at such and such house to the DA, and the DA then goes to the judge, and the judge says, okay, give me the specific item you're looking for, and give me the specific address you're going to. The DA does that. Now they go and they look, and if they find something, then they have to go and assemble a grand jury. Why a grand jury? We're going to discuss that in just a few minutes. But that's because it's all protecting the person who is accused, and it protects law enforcement. It's done in such a way. No warrant shall be signed by any judge without law enforcement by oath or affirmation describing exactly what the warrant is for. Now, on this call, we have a person who has worked in law enforcement, Governor Henning. Could you describe for a second what it's like from the corporation side to gain access to a warrant?
Thank you, Justice Waters. In order to secure a warrant, you can just go by a witness statement, and then you can go to the judge and explain to the judge what the witness told you, and then he'll sign the warrant, and you can go into that person's property. To me, that was unlawful. Also, as far as personal property, if you want me to go further, personal property, as you're walking down the street, you should have, be able to walk without being stopped, but the corporation uses it, and they call it a Terry stop. So that's just an officer doesn't feel right about the way you look or something or what you're wearing, so that officer can go over and detain you for a moment and pat you down and search you without a warrant. And they also use today, they call it a officer safety. Protect that officer. They can start patting you down just for they feel more secure. When it gets into your vehicles, they call it plain view doctrine. If they see something from outside the vehicle laying on the floor and they believe it might be contraband, but they're not sure, but plain view, they can go ahead and start searching your vehicle without a warrant. A lot of officers are asking to search your trunk. Let me search your trunk. I don't want you to, officer. Well, now all of a sudden you become a suspect. So now they want to detain you longer or be belligerent with you and try to get you to open your trunk, which you don't have to. Then, of course, the last thing, I guess, is going into a residence without a warrant. They can say that there's someone inside they heard screaming. They can go in and kick the door in without a warrant to make sure that somebody inside didn't need help. I hope that covered what you're looking for, Justice. I'll yield at this time.
Yes, sir. Thank you. You know, in my past, I've been to Matamoros, Mexico. They call it part of that town Boys Town. And I'll tell you, that sounds an awful lot like Mexico, who, by the way, doesn't have a constitution. They basically have martial law. And the police in Mexico can go pretty much do what they want. And what you just described there, Governor, sounds an awful lot like Mexico. Just thought I'd throw that in there. The Fifth Amendment. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on the precedent or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or the militia, when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property. without due process of law, nor shall have private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Now, that's a lot to cover. They kept putting that word nor in there, I think six times. There's six items mentioned here. You cannot be held to answer for a capital offense or crime or an infamous crime unless you are indicted with a true bill from a grand jury. I want you to understand that. In the Republic, under the Constitution, in order for you to be charged with a crime, there has to be a true bill given to the court and the DA from a grand jury saying we found enough evidence for this to go to trial. They can't just arrest you and throw you in jail and hope then they find something. If they do, they got some serious legal problems coming their way. Now, what is a capital offense? It's defined as like murder. It's defined as capital murder, where murder in first degree. No matter where it's done, that's considered a capital offense. Kidnapping, child trafficking, molestation of children, those are all capital offenses. Armed robbery is a capital offense. Shooting somebody on Main Street after sundown, that's a capital offense in the 1800s. This is what we're talking about. It's the high end of the criminal activity. The only exception that this amendment gives about the grand jury is if you are a member of the standing army or navy or militia in time of war or danger to the nation. Now, let me explain something to you real quick here. Why would those in the military be an exception? Because they fall under the UCMJ, Uniform Code of Military Justice. They have their own constitution when they join the military. Same as the militia. They fall under the same rules and obligations. And believe me, as a civilian, you do not want to fall under that because it is martial law in a lot of ways. Out here in the civilian world, you are innocent until proven guilty. In the military, you're just as good as guilty until you can prove your innocence. That's the difference between the UCMJ and the Constitution. Military has its own little world. And unless you've been there and understand it, you don't want to go there. That's the only exception the Constitution gives in this amendment for you not to be arrested with the obligation and the findings of a true bill by a grand jury for a capital offense. You cannot be tried by a grand jury. And you cannot go before a grand jury a second time for the same crime. It's called double jeopardy. Therefore, if you can't do that, then there's no second trial. And there's no second indictment of any kind by any jury. And therefore, you do not have to stand there and wonder if you're going to lose your life or your limbs. Now, I was wondering, why in the world does the Constitution mention limbs? Well, you got to remember, this thing was written in the late 1700s. And back then, if you got caught stealing, it was legal back then. Cut your hand off. That's the way they did things. Therefore, in this writing by the founding fathers, life or limbs. This is why it's there. You cannot be a witness against yourself. Now, for some reason, that makes perfect sense to me. It's common sense. But then why do they have on iron boxes when you go to the store like Walmart and buy a pressing iron to do shirts with? Why do they have on the box, do not stick hot iron on face? Why do they have that there? Somebody obviously have done that, tried to sue them, so therefore they got to put that on there. Well, that same thing here. They're telling you, you cannot be forced to be a witness against yourself. You cannot have your life, liberty, property taken away without due process of law. Now, we're going to get into due process, but that'll be in another week or so. And your property cannot be taken and then sold for public use. Now, there has been multiple cases across this country. And basically like 6-7 years ago, there was a big deal about people having stuff taken from their homes by law enforcement. And then a month later, they find it being sold on eBay. Maybe you remember some of those things. And it's not just little trinkets. It's automobiles. It's all kind of stuff, big items. That cannot happen under republic law. Now, I'll close by saying this. What I've just explained to you is the way the Constitution is supposed to work. It can never work this way under the corporate law. They don't even go by the Constitution. Oh, yeah, Schumer walks around on C-SPAN and pulls out that little pocket-sized Constitution and waves it around and says, we go by this here. No, they don't. They go by the UCC. They don't even go by the Constitution. They've done away with it in their minds. They just can't do away with it physically. That is who we are. We in this republic, we are the Constitution. Why is there three parts to the Constitution? And why is there three parts to the Godhead in heaven? Because the Constitution was written based on the laws of God. And that's who we are, folks. That's who we are. And you need to be a part of us. You need to be a part of us so we can stand up and take our country back. Because every day I watch the news and we lose a little more piece of it. Every single day.
Thank you, Justice Waters. Interesting conversation. It just seems to me that if we were truly under the construct of the Constitution, that our reality would be totally different. Because if people have risen up, they've formed grand juries, they've done all kinds of things to try to get a hold of this beast that is supposed to be us, but it's not. And it looks like that it's really a fruitless effort to try to go after them in their own jurisdiction, in their own law firm, because of the way it's set against us rather than for us. Governor Henney.
But America, you know, the Holy Bible is used, our founding fathers used it for a biblical law firm here in America. You know, they used the Bible to actually write the Constitution, and they used it also to write these amendments that we're going through for you today. You know, America, it's time that we stand together and unite and stand up peacefully and lawfully, I may add. But, you know, we need to pray for our brother, James Timothy Turner. Gene Hertler has written a book, and it's called James Timothy Turner, an American President and a Political Prisoner. And it's a legal brief, an appeal to the courts of heaven. Continue to pray for President Turner. It's time for him to be home with his family. He's been incarcerated way too long in this criminal behavior of this corporation. You know, Dave and Gene Hertler have written Reinhabited Republic for the United States of America. It's Volume 1, America's Truthful History. You can order that book at Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble. There's Volume 2, Reinhabited Republic for the United States of America, Volume 2, the story of the reinhabitation. You know, America, it is time to educate yourself and take control of this great American Republic that our forefathers left for us to protect and enjoy. We are holding your seats and the title to America's Republic. You just need to want it back, America. Take ownership of your part and spread the word. Stand up. Go to republicforunitedstatesofamerica.org. Read the Declaration of Sovereign Intent and the Proclamation of Claim of Interest. There's many things there on that republicforunitedstatesofamerica.org website that will educate yourself and your family.
Thank you, Governor Henning. You're so right, Governor Henning. History shows that slaves earned their freedom one way or the other. And it wasn't long, but most of them came back and asked to be lifelong slaves voluntarily because they couldn't deal with being a free man. And being a free man is a different mindset. It's a different set of rules. And people have to learn that, just like they have to learn how to live under the law form that they currently are servant to. So, education, getting involved, listening and learning is a must in order to achieve freedom. Representative Bider, I'll yield to you, and you can close this out tonight. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you. It's been a wonderful discussion, lots of truths and facts. Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, bless this Republic and America for standing in truth and recognizing how valuable and priceless our de jure constitutional common law republic is. Careful study of true history will show how many diabolical, premeditated, seditious, treasonous attacks the people of this nation have endured. Praise the Lord for endurance. We are still standing for truth because most of the people know that you, Father, rule and reign in the universe and all of creation. And by the stripes and blood of our Lord and Savior, we are healed and made whole. And we are of good faith because Jesus has overcome the world. By your plan for us, Father, we are reverent and confident that the law of nature and nature's God will prevail, and courts shall become halls of justice once again. Be with we the people all across America, Father, while we boldly proclaim the gospel, prophesy your news, restore your republic, cleanse your land, heal the sick, and teach your holy word with your blessing. Strengthen us to have valor in battle, virtue in faith, and be humble in service, giving you, Father, all the praise, glory, and honor for transforming America to a city upon a hill. God save the Republic. In Yeshua's name we pray. Thank you, Father, and amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, America. Get involved. It's your future.